We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
All right. Welcome back to another edition of the Butting Heads podcast, proud part of the Rams Talk Radio group, whatever we're called, and the Blue Wire Podcast Network, the best place to get your podcasts. I'm Steve Rivera. Here is us with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, we are back, episode 201. Schedule preview's over. We're deep into mini camp. We got a game on Saturday, albeit it barely constitutes as a real Rams game, but it is 60 minutes of football featuring players wearing Rams jerseys. Are you excited?
I am. You know, the funny thing is, I would have told you that I was excited just about for any type of football, and then I saw the Hall of Fame game with the Raiders and the Jaguars, and I was like, this is utter trash. Like, I understand it's the Jaguars and all, but man, both sides of the ball was just awful, and it just shows how terrible preseason football is. But A, it's football. I'm with it. I know that the Dodgers are on a tear lately, and they're the best team in baseball right now, but it's still football.
Yeah, it's football. We're back. Hey, good for the Dodgers. Good for you guys. I didn't realize they're on a tear. I went to a Mets game this weekend. I watched some baseball. I hit my parlay. And I'm good for the year.
Well, to your credit, you know, the Mets is the I think they're tied they're tied with the Yankees for the second best record right now.
If we have a Mets Dodgers playoff series, I might have to get back into it. The Dodgers are NL, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So they couldn't do a World Series, but they can certainly do a playoff game.
Yeah, the Butting Heads Invitational. What we'll call it.
I'd be so down.
We'll see. Well, and there's our baseball minute for the day. We are going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. A lot of Rams news going on. I think the biggest, not huge, not surprising, but most noteworthy thing that came out today was that Sean McVay confirmed he has signed a contract extension with the Rams and that Les Snead is being worked on. It seemed like he was reluctant to announce this until Snead was done. He said, we wanted to announce that when both of us had gotten done. Mine is done and Les is in the process of that, but I think in respect to wanting to show the partnership for us, I said, you guys will know when we both get done. Obviously, it's not the case, but it seems like they are both adamant about being a pair and a partnership, and that they both, if one of them was going to stay, the other one had to stay. And McVay is done. The Rams are not going to announce details of that contract until they get Les Snead done, is the word in the street today. but it seems like it'll be a big one considering we know that Amazon was offering him $20 million to do maybe an eighth of the work just to sit in the booth and watch football and talk about it. So I would imagine a pretty hefty heyday or payday for McVay. But Johnny, you happy that we are confirmed this guy is not going anywhere for quite some time?
Get it done. Like, I mean, well, it seems as though that Sean McVay is done, but less need also. I think you can all agree at this point that less need is good for the Rams. You know, he was partially responsible for this past Super Bowl. And I mean, the guy's a freaking wizard when it comes to contracts. And he's become, you know, someone that all other GMs are looking up to at this moment. So sign him to whatever, you know, just keep him in L.A.
When Les Snead got here, the Rams were arguably the worst run organization in football. And today they are arguably the best run organization in football. So it is clear that he should remain here. It seems like he's going to. There's no reason to think that this isn't going to happen based on the article. Probably just working out money details, contract details, all of that. I don't really see him leaving, especially if McVay's here, especially if the guys in the building are here. So I think that's definitely going to get done. And it's great to hear,
there's
man.
There's got to be a no-trade clause. There's got to be no-trade clauses, and there's got to be, like, performance bonuses and, you know, all that good stuff attached to it.
That's a dream, man. I'm sure you're getting a hefty bonus. Did you check out Seth Wickerman's Sean McVay profile today on ESPN?
I haven't, no.
Oh, my God. Dude, it's incredible. Absolutely worth reading to anyone who wants to check that out. It's just on ESPN.com. Go to the Rams page. You'll find it pretty easily. This is I'm going to read you some quotes from this article because it was cracking me up. This was Sean McVay talking about the Stafford trade. They detail how the season ended, and it was pretty clear that he realized that they've gotten as far as they could get with Jared Goff. He was in Cabo, you know, bummed about a bad 2020 season. Then he found out Matthew Stafford was there. They hung out. They talked football. It was clear that they wanted to team up. So this is what the quote says. They met for drinks poolside, talking football, a bond forged over sun and booze. McVay returned to his hotel and, in quotes, a few tequilas in, he says, he hopped on a FaceTime with Rams brass, unleashing a plea that's now legendary around the team's office. And this is the quote from what he said. Here's the fucking deal, okay? We can sit here and exist and be okay winning 9 to 11 games and losing in the fucking divisional round and feel like, oh, everything's okay. Or we could let our motherfucking nuts hang and go trade for this fucking quarterbacks and give ourselves a chance to win a fucking world championship. You ready to fucking do this or what? Is verbatim the quote from this article. Just incredible, incredible stuff.
And this is exactly the reason why you paid Sean McVay. That there's just no reason why you wouldn't. He knew exactly what he wanted. He knew what would get the job done. He got the job done. Now we're trying to get, you know, a two-peat going here. Yeah, pay the man.
Pay the man. My other favorite tidbits, this was him talking about how he felt in November last year. He said, it was a fucking joke how pissed and how I can't even articulate the disgust, the sickness, the constant pit in your gut. You have to fight what you're feeling. You have to get up and lead and really authentically be able to demonstrate the strength that I think is a responsibility and necessity for a good leader. While not minimizing, I'm being a human being too, and I fucking hate this shit. And then just incredible stuff in this article. My actual favorite part of the article is they were talking about whether or not he'd ever actually leave the booth. Everyone was like, or leave for the booth. He was like, I don't think so. And there's a line in the thing where it says, Of course, if he stays in coaching, it will mean the inevitable losing season. If you ask McVay what will happen if the Rams go 4-13, he scoffs as if you mentioned something cosmically inconceivable. We're never losing again. We're never losing again. What a world.
I think we should just sign a petition that Sean McVay will be our lifetime coach. You know, no other coach can be the Rams coach from here on out. And it should be that way.
I'm here for it. Just like what we've said, when we've brought up Pat Mahomes in the past, we've said that it is not inconceivable to think that he is on a trajectory where he will end his career as one of, if not the best quarterbacks to ever play. Pretty clearly, Sean McVay is also on that trajectory. The guy's 36, never had a losing season, been to two Super Bowls, youngest to win one. I'm assuming the youngest to coach in one, too, in 2018. I don't have that in front of me. But clearly on a path towards being one of the all-time greats. And he was a risky hire when we signed him. The guy was 30. But clearly the best bet anyone in that building has ever made.
I think back to that, and I'm like, man, that's crazy. When you think back, I didn't really have a huge opinion on Sean McVay because he was so young, and I understand that there was a good impression on the guy, but, you know, me personally, I just thought, well, I mean, can't get any worse, so why not? I didn't expect to see a coach that we think so fondly of. We want him to be our coach for decades to come, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, never in our wildest dreams could we imagine this. I don't really think I had a strong take at the time either, because I don't really know anything about him. You know, I knew he was the Washington's offensive coordinator. I searched my Twitter. I just searched tweets for me from McVay. Here I am, January 12th, 2017. Sean McVay turned Kirk Cousins into a franchise guy and made Matt Jones and Fat Rob competent backs. Great fit for Goff and Gurley. What a tweet, bro. I'm on the right side of history here.
You are. You are, especially because you had a good feeling about Kirk Cousins.
This is Lajani type line. Sean McVay turned Kirk Cousins into a franchise guy. That's a backhanded compliment if I've ever seen one.
That really is. That are you sure I didn't tweet that?
Or on the same page again. All right, let's move on to some players on the Rams. A lot of injuries shifting around. Running back Kieran Williams, wide receiver Warren Jackson activated off the pup list. They're back at practice. Jalen Ramsey's back at practice as well. He had a big day in practice, apparently, having two interceptions. Good to see it. I'm hoping that Kieran Williams and Warren Jackson are able to play this weekend, because Williams especially is a guy I'm looking. I want to see what he can bring to the table in the preseason.
I agree. These are two guys I would absolutely want to see. But I feel like with Williams, I would be okay with him like missing a week. Have him play in week two, just because it is coming back from like a broken foot. So I'm not too crazy about him trying to re-aggravate his foot here. But at the same time, like it is kind of tempting to see what he brings to the table, and you know, kind of the selfishness in the fans. That's what you want to see, like what he looks like on the NFL level. Especially because we are hoping that he can be our main third down back in the future. As for Warren Jackson, we don't really know the extent, or at least that I don't know the extent of as to why he was on the, you know, physically unable to perform list to start the offseason. It wasn't mentioned. I don't know if it was a private matter or what the issue was, but I'm hoping it wasn't too serious so that he can, you know, go back out there and compete. But the reason why I'm particularly interested in Warren Jackson is because there was a lot of sort of hype around this guy. because he's kind of a bigger target. And really, when you get towards the back half of the receiving depth, you don't have a lot to be excited about. Tutu Atwell, we're hearing good things. You know, Jacob Harris, unfortunately, is injured, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But beyond that, is Ben Skoranek did not have the most great rookie seasons. To be fair, he was kind of asked to really become a bigger target for Matthew Stafford in critical situations. Not something you tend to want to do for a low-round rookie, but did not really impress much. And then the rest is basically guys that have been on and off the practice squad or undrafted free agents. So Warren Jackson kind of brings a different type of energy here. If he can, you know, kind of separate himself from the pack, that'd be awesome to have, you know, another big target for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, with Van Jefferson injured, there's definitely an opening for snaps. And so even somebody like Warren Jackson, who I'm not going to sit here and say I even think will make the roster, it's good to get him back and give him a chance to compete for the spot that is open. There are definitely open roster spots as a position. I don't think anyone I mean, the most likely group to make the roster is Cup, Robinson, Jefferson. Those are obviously all locks. Tutu Atwell is about a 99.9% lock right behind them. Ben Skoranek and Jacob Harris are probably going to be on the team. That's probably going to be the six. And then Brandon Powell, if we count him as a receiver. We'll see how much he plays receiver in the preseason, if they even play him. I wouldn't be upset if they didn't, because we need that guy. But it's nice that he could get back and have a chance to compete for a spot. And I know you mentioned that we did throw Ben Skoranek into a big spot, but you know, think about how many players have been thrown into big spots and succeeded. You know, these guys are in the NFL. Bryson Hopkins hadn't played for two years.
Do you really want to throw that on a late round rookie?
Don't. But there was a lot of noticeable, that play probably should have been made stuff. Not to beat a dead horse. I don't want to drag the guy. I'm excited to see how. I genuinely mean this. I'm excited to see if he's developed as a receiver at all in year two.
No, I think you do want to, because despite all of, you know, our criticism towards Ben Skoranek, there were other guys on the practice squad that Sean McVay could have rolled with, but opted to kind of throw in Skoranek because he felt he was the better player to throw out there. So that says something, you know. It may not say a ton, but it says a little something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you buying the Tutu hype? You're getting a lot of praise this preseason.
I want to buy into the hype. I really, really do, because then it makes the drafting of Tutu Atwell, where the Rams did, a little bit of an easier pill to swallow. But I am going to reserve my judgment until we see him out on the field. The only question is, will Sean McVay have him on the field and during the preseason or not? Because we know how Sean McVay likes to, rest his players and not play in the preseason. I don't know if that applies to Tutu, though.
I think you have to play him. Like, he needs the reps. Unless he is looking like a absolute certified stud. And I am cautiously buying the hype here. Not thinking that he's going to come out here and be the wide receiver 3 and go for 1,000 yards. I'm buying it in a sense that I do believe that he can have a role on the team, and perform. And, you know, he's not someone who's like, you're going to go out and draft in your fantasy drafts. He's going to be a steal. He's not going to put up numbers because there's too many mouths to feed, but maybe once or twice a game, he's out there and he makes a play and you're like, oh, okay. Still a bad pick to me, no matter what happens, but he's here and I would love to get some use out of him. Before we move on, let's talk about Jacob Harris quick. Injured. He is injured again. He has a groin strain, out for a couple weeks. Not really much to say on it. It's just kind of a bummer that he's probably going to miss the whole preseason because, like Warren Jackson, this is another guy who has a chance to earn some playing time. He's fully as a wide receiver. If he doesn't play in the preseason, you know, how much are you going to trust him to play in the regular season? I would guess not a lot. So just bad timing for that guy. He can't catch a break.
Yeah. I mean, this was, again, this is exactly kind of the mirror of what happened last year. You know, he has like all this kind of camp hype, and then only for him not to be able to shine at all during the preseason, and then you have to play catch up again going into the regular season. Hopefully he stays healthy, and you know, injuries can really, really affect a player's career. So I just hope it's something he can recover from quickly.
Yeah, I want to see him out there. But it doesn't seem like he'll play this preseason, and we'll see if he plays in the regular season if he doesn't play in the preseason. I'm sure he's going to make the team. Not a full lock, but it'd be pretty surprising if he was a cut. We've had more surprising cuts, but we've had much more surprising cuts in the past. Let's talk quickly about the Matthew Stafford injury situation. We touched on it last week. Basically, immediately after we finished recording the podcast, there was a rumor that was out that he is dealing with tendonitis. Stafford, when asked about it, he said this news was getting a lot more traction than he expected. He said, I'm just going through something that's irritating at the moment, and I'm working through it. We've got a great plan. I'm feeling stronger every time I come out and throw. I'm on the right track. I feel good. McVay said, obviously, Stafford, if you've been keeping up, came back to practice, threw the ball around, threw it all over the field, looked great. To the naked eye, seemed fine. You wouldn't know he was dealing with injury. McVay said, I do know this, the way he looked today. I don't think you would know that anything was going on, and he felt good. So I'm going to sleep a little better knowing that. So, nobody would confirm if it was tendonitis. Didn't deny it either. McVay said this is an abnormal injury for a quarterback. It's something that pitchers deal with more. And so it's not the best news, but I'm still not concerned, especially after he threw. I don't think my thoughts have really changed since last week.
No, I mean, the fact that he could still throw the ball downfield, and he seems to being able to do this quite frequently, I don't think there's a huge issue here. Obviously, you don't want him to feel any sort of discomfort or irritation at all, but it is what it is at this point. At least it's not a serious issue. At least it doesn't seem like it. I just think that in general, the way the Rams kind of handle injury news has always been kind of, or at least during the Sean McVay era, has always been kind of on the horrific side. Their secretiveness just seems like a lot worse than it actually is. And to an extent, I understand it because, you know, if the players prefer it to be private, then let it be private. I mean, if you were to think of it from our own perspective, it's not like we're sharing our medical information to the world either. So, you know, that's just kind of something to keep in mind. But I will say that them being so secretive about everything makes things sound a lot worse.
Yeah, it's be upfront about it. I think they might have just thrown him out to practice because they were probably all like, "Hey, should we just end this? End the speculation?" But yeah, obviously you shouldn't feel 100% positive right now about this. You know, if there was no reason to be concerned, then there would be no news. I'm not really concerned though. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like a 2.5. And I
Yeah,
think, yeah, I think anything lower than a 2, you're probably kidding yourselves a little. But anything higher than like a 5, you're just losing your mind and letting something run rampant that's not that big of a deal because we saw him throw the shit out of the ball in a practice. So I think come games, he's going to be okay.
let us hope, man.
Let us hope. Preseason starts Saturday, Johnny, 10 o'clock against, is it the Chargers this week?
It is the Chargers.
Okay, so the positional battle that we are watching the closest is definitely at right guard. And it appears that Coleman Shelton is out to the lead. McVay said that he's really starting to separate himself in that battle against rookie Logan Bruss and whoever else is getting thrown out there. I think the biggest indicator of if he's winning this matchup is if we see him play on Saturday. Do you think we will see Coleman Shelton play this week?
You know, I'd be kind of shocked to see either of them out there playing.
Okay.
The only way I kind of see them, either of them out there, for surely I don't see Coleman Shelton out there. Let's kind of get that out of the way. Because if there's any sort of inkling that this guy is going to be your starting guard for the season, he's definitely not going to be out there. But as far as Logan Bruss, who may ride the bench this year, if he has a chance to start, I think McVay would prefer to keep him out as well. But considering that there's no shot at Bruss starting at all, and McVay just wants him to get some, you know, in-game NFL experience, maybe we will see him this Saturday. I would prefer to see him just because he is a rookie after all. No matter how much hype the guy has, you want to see what he does against actual NFL competition. But we'll see. I think it's going to be very telling to see if any of these guys are out there. But I'd be completely shocked if Shelton is out there.
I would be floored if Logan Bruss didn't play. That would be wild to me. I think even McVay, in his history of not playing players, has more often than not played rookies. Or Cam Akers was hurt, right? I don't remember if he played or not.
I think he was hurt.
Yeah. But I think he usually does play rookies because he's never had a first round pick. So, like, there's never been a drafted player who is an immediate day one starter where he's actually had to think about that. And I think pretty
Yeah.
much everyone else has played. Shelton will be interesting.
If I can recall one player that wasn't out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, I believe Jordan Fuller was one of the only guys that didn't participate.
I am gonna. Jordan Fuller was 2020, right? Or was this his second year?
I'm thinking during it's because I think right away I think the Rams knew he was going to be the starter, so I'm pretty sure that they kept him out. He may have played the first preseason game, and then they might have held him out for the rest of them, but I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, Johnny, we are There was no preseason. Because that was 2020, right?
Was it?
Yeah, so nobody played. Because they didn't have a preseason. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Man. That seems like forever ago.
Yeah, because I remember, like, it was surprising that he was the full game starter in week one.
So that, yeah, well, I'm curious in if he would have played at all in the preseason now. So he kind of got the benefit of the doubt there.
Yeah, they might have, maybe they would have played both him and Rapp to try and sort that out, but I don't know. I'm going to name you some players. You tell me if we think they play. And these are going to be deeper cuts because obviously there is a lot of guys obviously that here that are not going to play. John Wolford, does he play week one preseason?
I want to say yes, but no, he does not.
I don't think he does either. Who else we got? Kendall Blanton.
I think you kind of have to. Because the reason being is obviously you're not going to see Higbee out there. But beyond Higbee and Blanton and Hopkins, who else is available? Because I know they recently cut a undrafted free agent tight end. I forget his name. I think he got injured and they just cut him. But
they've still got Jamal Pettigrew and Jared Pinkney and Roger Carter, according to their roster. Were any of those the guys that got cut, though?
No, I don't believe so.
So I don't think he plays.
So if that's the case, then no, he does not play.
Yeah, I don't think he plays either. Terrell Lewis.
No.
I don't think so either. Who else we got here? Robert Rochelle.
Yes, I believe he plays. I just think that there's so much competition right now at cornerback, and that the rookies are doing so well at training camp that you almost have to play him to establish some kind of competition there.
Yeah, I agree. David Long?
No, I don't think so. I want him to because, again, there's a lot of competition this time around. It's funny because when you talk about the beginning of the offseason, this was such a barren wasteland of talent other than Jalen Ramsey and, well, really just Jalen Ramsey because at the time we didn't have Troy Hill.
Yeah.
And now it's like, damn, who do we keep? So I'd like to say yes, but I have a feeling that McVay keeps him off.
Well, we had Darius Williams last year too, but he made himself forgettable.
Well, no, I meant the beginning of this offseason.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because Williams got overpaid.
Yeah, I agree. I think he should play, and he probably won't play. Nick Scott, hell no, right? There's no chance he plays.
No.
Terrell Burgess? I think he plays.
You know, I would say yes, but if I recall correctly, he really didn't play much last preseason.
Yeah, he might be active and just be a coach's decision to not play.
Well, I mean, that was the funny thing is because we kind of speculated, oh, maybe Terrell Burgess has like a huge role this year, and he was like, oh, yeah, he's on the roster. Why?
Yeah, you're right. So, maybe he doesn't play. Yeah, like, it wouldn't shock me if the guy who plays in this game who contributed the most to the team last year was Ben Skoranek, because they might sit everybody. Like, we're sitting here saying, like, they might not play Kendall Blanton. Like, that's just, like, insane.
That is weird.
I would like to see Coleman Shelton play, but I agree. I feel like he won't if they're being serious about him being out in that big of a lead.
Because, yeah, no way.
Yeah, they didn't play Brian Allen and Joseph Noteboom in the preseason the year they were deemed the starters with no experience.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What are you looking forward to the most in this game, man? I personally am most excited just to watch 11 players in Rams uniforms throw a leather ball around for 60 minutes.
There's actually quite a bit to look for, and it's one of the reasons why I'm kind of excited to see this game. I know it means nothing, but there's a lot to look for. I'm most interested, though, in the cornerback competition just because there is so much. Like, I don't think people realize – how many guys that are going to be out there performing, you know, from the rookies, Darian Kendrick and Dakobe Durant have gotten rave reviews. And then, of course, you know, Robert Rochelle was kind of an up-and-coming guy before he got injured. You know, and there's even another guy that has been making some noise. He was technically, I think, on the practice squad, but has been making a lot of noise in camp, named Haley Grant. Dude, there's so much competition. That's why, like, it makes me wonder if a guy like Terrell Burgess even has a shot at making the roster this year. And it's so disappointing considering it seemed like he had a lot of potential his rookie year before he got hurt.
Yeah, he's far from a lock to make the roster. Because every time it seemed like last year when it was like, oh, it's time for Terrell Burgess to step up, they were like, hey, Eric Weddle, you want to put your cleats on and come back to us? So, yeah, like, there's clearly no confidence in him, and so I think he really should be out there to earn playing time and potentially a roster spot. I'm excited. Oh, you can go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there may be even – I don't even know if he's even eligible anymore, but he may have to end up on the practice squad.
He might be with the new rules. I don't know if they ever really reverted them back to what they were pre-pandemic.
That's nuts, considering that we saw this guy as so much potential and then just – I mean, there's a reason why Les Snead and you know, the Rams coaching staff all agreed – that they needed to kind of focus on the defensive back spots during the draft. And from all signs of it, it sounds like they hit a couple of gems. Hopefully it's not just hype.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see Dakobe. And if Rochelle plays, I'm excited to see what he's bringing in year two. Hopefully he plays so well that he doesn't have to play again this preseason.
I'm excited to see DK, man. Darian Kendrick, you gotta be looking out for this guy, especially since he was such a late round, but had, you know, he was thought to be like a first round talent at one point. If he can continue to improve, we may have had a steal in, you know, drafting him in, I believe, the sixth round.
It wouldn't be the first time we've hit big on a sixth-round defensive back rookie.
Nope. And by all accounts, it seems like it might happen again.
I'll be keeping my eye out for him. Believe it or not, I'm very excited to see Tutu Atwell and Ben Skowronek in this game because there's no bad outcome for me personally. Either I'm going to eat my words and we're going to get two players that contribute to the Rams this year, or we're just going to have some very fun podcasts while they're on the team. It's genuinely a win-win for me. I will happily eat every bad thing I said about these guys. That's what I want to happen.
I personally think that Tutu Atwell, considering he plays, I think we'll see some good things from Tutu Atwell. And I think it would be more of a crow eating situation if Ben Skowronek turns out to be like an absolute stud in the preseason. I'm going to be honest, I'd be really surprised, just because even in camp, I haven't heard a ton of good things about Skowronek.
No, none. But, and we've heard good things about everybody.
Yes. And honestly, I have not heard a single good thing from Skowronek. Now, that doesn't mean anything, because Skowronek has never been that kind of flashy of a player. So it could be, he could be quietly having a good camp, but that doesn't seem likely.
We'll see. We talked about Kieran Williams a little bit earlier. What are you high on him as a player? And I ask this because I have a group chat with some of my friends from Roto Baller, current and past, our fantasy football website. All these guys think that Kieran Williams sucks and is just not going to be good. Our friend of the show, Kev Masarejan, said that he wouldn't be surprised if Jake Funk is the Rams RB2 this year, which I think he said last he was on the show and we made fun of him for it. But, like, are you a believer in Kieran Williams? I don't really have a take. I haven't watched a lot of his college. I trust the Rams enough if they are taking him in the fifth round that maybe there's something there. But what are you saying? Do you think he'll be a contributor on this team?
If he could stay healthy and get to football form, I absolutely think he can be a contributor. Now, how much of a contributor, I think that's where you want to be a little bit more realistic. Because the way I look at it is, if you're sitting here thinking he's going to be like a dominant, you know, number two guy that can overthrow Daryl Henderson, I think you're overthinking about Williams. But on the other hand, if you see him as like a third down back, you know, somebody that, you know, can potentially punch in, get some short yardage, maybe even get a touchdown or two, I think that's a little bit more accurate way of looking at him. The idea is for him to be the third down back. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But I am thinking that he has a shot. Of course, nothing is guaranteed. He is just a rookie after all. But I think he can contribute. I don't see him as a player that sucks or a player that is a bust or anything. I mean, first of all, he's a fifth round pick. He wouldn't be a bust even if he doesn't succeed. Yeah, I don't see him as a starter. So if people are seeing he's going to overtake Cam Akers, I think you're going to be severely disappointed.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really thinks that, like, except maybe his family. I mean, all he's got to do is be better than Jake Funk.
That shouldn't be
probably hard. They probably will be.
Quite frankly, I would be more concerned if Jake Funk makes the active roster, because quite frankly, I did not see anything remotely positive about this guy last year. I know he was just a rookie last year, and he was mainly thought to be just a special teams contributor. But yeah, the little action we saw him last year, there's a reason why I only got a few snaps. And yeah.
Well, you got to imagine this team's going to keep four running backs, because Cam Akers is coming off an Achilles tear. Daryl Henderson's made of glass. Kieran Williams may possibly also be made of glass. And then if it's not Jake Funk, it's going to be Raymond Calais, Trey Ragas, AJ Rose. Maybe they bring some. I mean, if there's serious injuries to Henderson or Akers in the preseason, they'll sign someone off the street. But, you know, hopefully we enter the season with both of them active. And, you know, they're not going to play in the preseason, so that won't be an issue for us. But he could make the roster. I'd be a little concerned if he's getting snaps, but I wouldn't shock me if he makes a team.
I have to say, though, I am kind of intrigued with the. With Trey Ragas or Ragas or however you pronounce his name. I'm kind of intrigued because I did a little research on the guy because I'll admit I did not know really much of anything about him. And turns out he was kind of like a preseason warrior for the Raiders last year, which is kind of funny because he's not on the Raiders anymore. He even like kind of got a nickname called Trey Vegas. So I'm like, that's kind of cool. That's a freaking awesome nickname. But yeah, I'm wondering if there is like something the Rams see in him. I'm interested to see what he brings to the table.
Hey, in the regular season for the Raiders last year, he averaged 9 yards a carry. So
that you know, I mean, I imagine had, that's not very many.
He
but
had one carry, but it went for 9 yards.
Hey, 9 yards a carry.
I mean, he'll get some. He'll get carries for sure, especially if we don't think Kieran Williams plays. They're not going to give Jake Funk the ball 30 times.
Oh God.
I'm also. Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Super Bowl hero Bryson Hopkins, who I'm excited to see. I'm assuming he will play. And I think in reality, they should dial up a lot of action for him because it's year three. We finally saw something out of him in the Super Bowl. He clearly seems like he belongs in the NFL, which we were not sure of for a long time. Now, I would hope he's a guy that they try to scheme for in this game and get him the ball a little. We say all these expectations about seeing guys like him, Tutu, Skowronek. What we know is going to happen, Johnny, is J.J. Koski is going to get 16 targets because I think that was all that happened the last preseason.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, of all the attention that Koski got, it wasn't all that impressive still.
He's like, well, it's the guy, there's guys in the NBA G League who can average like 30 points a game. And you're like, well, that's great. But like, they have no value to an NBA roster because all this stuff they could only do if they are the best player on the court. And so like Koski's fine. You know, if we desperately need a slot receiver, he can go in and be on the field, but like not really a guy that is gonna he has a lot of work to do if he's gonna be an actual NFL receiver.
Yeah, for sure. And it's gonna be interesting to see, you know, some of these guys that we have hope for. But every year there's always that kind of one preseason warrior that we just think is gonna, you know, actually make the roster and you know, challenge for playing time, and they end up not doing anything. Just kind of goes to show you just how little the preseason means to the Rams. Because yeah, I mean, it does help a little bit for some of the players to, you know, make the roster, but I think back to last year's preseason warrior, which is arguably Chris Garrett. Yeah, I mean, dude dominated in preseason. And
did he actually, or was this just like us wanting him so badly to dominate that we are just remembering him dominating?
I think there was one game he was just kind of there, but there was two pretty memorable games.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the first game he was awful, and then he did do some stuff, I remember.
But hey, I'm excited to see him again this year.
Oh, me too. I love that guy. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, him playing side by side with Daniel Hardy, you know, this could be a you know, formidable duo in the preseason. You never know.
And out of all the positions on the roster, really, that might be the one where if somebody goes bonkers in this preseason, they could actually earn themselves snaps in the regular season. Because even though, like, you're not going to play Leonard Floyd or Justin Hollins or probably Terrell Lewis, it's not, like, exactly a murderer's row there after Floyd. And so, like, yeah, but if a Chris Garrett comes out and looks like he's made leaps and bounds, he probably will get some snaps in the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. And it'll just kind of amuse me a little bit, too, if these guys just end up, like, this amazing unit out there, you know, dominating because they have like this athleticism to them. But in the end, during the regular season, we probably won't see much of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the guys that we see this preseason, we will not see at all in the regular season, because the entire starting lineup and then some isn't going to play. The Rams are minus, or I think the Rams are +3.5 underdogs in this game. I am hammering that Chargers line, man. We are never going to win in the preseason again, I don't believe.
No. And that's fine with me, man.
I don't care.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, did we win any preseason game last year? I think we might have won one.
No, we lost all three last year. And I actually went back and looked while we were podcasting, because I was hoping that our record under McVay was going to be like horrible. But in 2018 and 2019, they actually split. They went 2-2 both times. I didn't look at 2017 because I don't think he had established the we're playing no players mentality yet his first year. I think some guys did play that year.
Yeah, I think it was for the better, honestly. But yeah, it's kind of interesting though that you look at some teams out there, like how much they, you know, put in starters and stuff like that, and I just think to myself, why?
Yeah, I think McVay takes it a little too far, but I think clearly he is right to not play their best players at all. Like, Matthew Stafford doesn't need a rep. You know, Cooper Kupp doesn't need a rep. And then even, like, Cam Akers coming off an injury, I wouldn't play him. I could see other coaches want him to play him. But then, like, when you go down the roster, it's like, we just both agreed without hesitation that Nick Scott will absolutely not fucking play in this game. And we're talking about Nick Scott. Like, he's made some strides, but like, we're really at the point where we're saying that guy will not be on the field. There's no chance he plays. It's a little ridiculous, but it's clearly worked. So I'm fine with it.
But, I mean, even like other teams, like going back to the Raiders-Jaguars game, why the hell is Josh Jacobs out there playing?
Everyone's been asking that question. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, granted, do I think Josh Jacobs is slightly overrated? Yes. But I'm still not sending Josh Jacobs out there. He's clearly the best running back the Raiders have. And he's out there.
I actually think he's kind of become underrated at this point, because I think everyone thinks he sucks.
I definitely don't think he sucks.
Yeah, me neither.
He's talented. Maybe he's not like a top, you know, 5, top 10 running back anymore, but I certainly would be happy to have him.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not going to make a prediction on this game. Do you want to?
No, because I imagine the Rams will lose, and I'm okay with it. As long as the way I see it, as long as the Rams show, you know, a few players out there that are shining, you know, some guys with potential, that's already a win in my book.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I will be watching the condensed version Sunday morning, because I don't want to stay up till 10 p.m. to watch this game. Or I'd stay up till 1 to watch
the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see. If I'm home, I'll watch it. I don't know what I'm doing yet this weekend.
I'm watching the whole thing because, I just love football that much, and it's not on at like 1 a.m. like Steve. So, I'm all in.
I love football, man. I'll watch all three of these preseason games. I don't know if I love football enough to watch any other team's preseason games.
I don't know how many more. I just watch the Hall of Fame game just because you get in the mood of football, and every year I'm reminded how terrible the Hall of Fame game really is.
Yeah, and you know, there's rookies I'm excited to see, but like, we're going to see them. They're going to play in the regular season. How do you watch this early tape? Obviously, though, I'm happy to watch this. It's going to be fun talking about a team where I actually know the 70 or so players on the roster. So, I think we hit everything. You got anything else?
Nope. That's all for me. Go Dodgers playing the Twins tonight.
Go Dodgers. Sure. be sure. We'll be back probably Sunday to recap this game. Be sure to follow us at Steve Ribeiro, at Johnny5Nut6, at Talk Rams. Talk to you guys next week.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet.